The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson, Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott. It's your call for the best college football coverage from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. It's another around-the-clock edition of the show. We've been tapping 24-7 sports experts from across the country, the boots on the ground, the insiders, to be able to get a good look into some of the biggest teams in the upcoming football season. We are joined today by Corey Smith. And Corey, this is very interesting. I'm not going to start the clock quite yet, but you and I have known each other a long time, and we've worked together, and we've been in the same spaces. So I'm going to try to do two things. Number one, allow that familiarity to give the best podcast possible. And number two, also to try and make sure that we don't get too inside, that we're delivering a look at NC State that's not coming from two people that spend so much time around Raleigh, North Carolina, and West Raleigh in particular.
Yeah, it's always great to talk to you, man. I mean, yeah, obviously we've been around each other. I've had you on our podcast multiple times and been talking to you on podcasts for several years and videos and things like that. So it's always great to talk to you, man.
All right. And now we will go ahead and put 15 minutes on the clock. What do you think happened to this NC State team in the way it responded coming down the stretch after the Miami loss? To be able to get things settled, win the last four games of the regular season, because I think that a lot of college football forgot about the Wolfpack. You know, they break up into the top 25. They only played two games on ESPN all year, and it was the loss to North Carolina and the loss to Miami. You know, they lose on that, you know, weeknight game, also sort of fade away. But what did you see in terms of growth, of development, or what that team did to be able to recenter itself and finish the regular season strong?
Yeah, I mean, I think a big part of it was the fact that, you know, the schedule did get a little easier down the stretch. Obviously, you had Liberty that was a tough matchup, but, you know, that Florida State game after the Miami game, you know, they had kind of gotten, you know, themselves into this mindset of like, hey, we're actually a pretty good team, you know, offensively, defensively in that Miami game. And then, you know, they had the door shut on them there in the fourth quarter. I mean, Derek King happened. So, yeah. I mean, he had the best game of likely his entire career as a passer. In that game. And so, you know, that could have been something where, you know, you close up shop. You're like, hey, we lost our quarterback for the year, not having a great year. We're just going to finish out this year and then move on to next year. But this team didn't do that. You know, Bailey Hockman, I think, was a big part of that. He played solid throughout the end of the season. Now, obviously, he's gone on to Middle Tennessee State. But, you know, the rest of the offense around him, the veterans that were on this team, guys like Peyton Wilson that's coming back, Emeka Emezi that's coming back, you know, all those guys responded in a big way and helped to put that load on their back and carry this team down the stretch. You know, the one that I think a lot of people remember is the Liberty game where, you know, NC State was the only team to beat them, at least in the regular season last year. I can't remember. I think they won their bowl game too. So they were the only team to really beat them last season. And that was one of those really big grinded out, you know, types of moments of the season. And that's where this team, you know, kind of sits at, is they want to be able to grind wins out. And they were able to do a lot of that at the end of last season.
What do you think about the feeling coming out of spring practice where Tim Beck has gotten a full spring to be able to work? I mean, with Devin Leary, but also he was hired. Yeah. And then COVID hits, and so you lose all that time for install. Were you able to sense from talking to players or coaches the way that things have progressed on the offensive side with now both coach and unit players all being able to work together?
Yeah, I mean, I'm never going to use the word comfortable, because I think any coach in the country is going to be like, no, you never want to be comfortable. But there is a sense of comfortability that was not there with this team last year. There wasn't, you know, there was a lot of change that took place after last offseason or after last season where they changed. Like you said, Tim Beck comes in, he's having to install an entirely new offense, and he does it without the spring prep, without full spring camp. And, you know, going into this year, there is, you know, hey, we know who the quarterback's going to be. We have, you know, a full spring to get things prepared, you know, and most of the guys, you know this offense. And even a guy like Devin Leary, who was not on the field, but for three games last season, you know, he has a pretty firm grasp on what this offense is, the guys that are around him, what they're capable of doing, and the types of things that he can do to make this offense better. And I think, yeah, we've seen that a lot from talking to players. You know, there was a lot of guys that actually sat out in the spring just because, you know, they were trying to, you know, recover from these bumps and nicks. Guys like Zonovan Knight, Ricky Person, Emeka Emezi, those are guys that are expected to step up in a big way this season. But, you know, they were comfortable enough to say, hey, you guys take some time off. We don't necessarily need to push you. They brought some younger guys in, guys like Jordan Houston, Porter Rooks, you know, at the running back and the wide receiver position to kind of bring them along and add even more assets to this team going into the season. I think that's the biggest thing that they gained this spring.
Where's the question mark offensively? Because like you can, if you can go off the top of your head and just be like, Bam Knight, like I don't know if I'm going to put him as a preseason first teamer, but if he's a first teamer, I'm not gonna be surprised. Like Ricky Person, like same thing there. Emeka Emezi, like probably will be in first team consideration for the ACC. Like what are the question marks for the offense?
Yeah, you know, the biggest question mark that you lose in terms of your skill position players is going to be at the tight end position, because Kerry Engeline, while he didn't, you know, while he didn't finish with like 35, 40 catches last year and, you know, 10 plus touchdowns, he was a guy in the red zone that, you know, you could rely on. He's a 6'7" tight end. He ended up signing as a free agent, you know, in the NFL just because he does have some athleticism. He can catch the ball. He was not a great blocker. He worked on that last season, and he got better at it. But that's the biggest question from a skill position standpoint. Along the offensive line, it's really just kind of at the guards right now and the right offensive tackle. You do bring back, you know, Grant Gibson and the Kim Ikwanu are two guys. Kim Ikwanu is going to be left tackle. Grant Gibson at the center position. Those two guys are expected to be, you know, two of the better offensive linemen in the entire ACC. And then, you know, the question mark really is, you know, you have a guy, Dylan McMahon, that stepped up last season. You also bring in some young talent. You bring back, you know, some guys that were on the team last year, but that right tackle position is going to be a battle. And then, you know, one of the guard positions, like I said, you feel good about Dylan McMahon, who is technically a redshirt freshman last year, comes back as a redshirt freshman again this year. But those are really the only question marks. So you feel good about nine of the spots. I mean, that's a ton of talent coming back that you feel good about as far as starters for last year. The last one I'll bring up, though, we talk about Devin Leary as if, you know, he's going to be perfectly fine. There are still going to be some questions about durability because he did have the season-ending injury last year. So how durable is he? Is he able to stay on the field the whole year? And I think that's the only other real question mark you have for this team.
Well, not only Corey, but the entire squad at Pack Pride does a fantastic job of keeping you up to date with the recruiting side of things. Peyton Wilson's from Hillsborough, you know, like this is somebody that he was considering North Carolina and NC State. You know, it's a name that we've known here around the area and in the state of North Carolina for a very long time because he's been excellent and he's a future pro. What should college football fans who are not familiar with Peyton Wilson know, or what do you like about the way that he's developed and the player he's become?
Yeah, you know, the thing about Peyton Wilson that you see on the field almost instantly is he's just got a tenacity. Like he's just plays angry all the time. And, you know, that's been a hindrance for him in the past. He had some serious injuries coming out of high school, had the torn ACL, suffered a similar injury during his redshirt freshman season, had to sit out, and then came in, you know, as an actual redshirt freshman and played and had to sit out multiple games because of injuries. He had a shoulder injury this past offseason, but, you know, he's a guy that led the entire ACC in tackles last year, finished his first team all ACC. And that was even after missing a game due to, you know, a slight injury, and had a few games where, you know, he was playing. Like, you know, you go back to that North Carolina game. That was the game that he marked on his calendar. You really want to be able to play in that one and show out and have a big game. And, you know, I think it's like the first drive he suffers a shoulder injury, and he's kind of on and off the field the rest of the game, like adjusting his pads, doing little things like that. But he's a guy that does not want to come off the field. He's a sideline to sideline linebacker that you want to have, you know, off the mic side, off the Sam side. he plays a little bit of everywhere. He played Buck as a redshirt freshman. I believe played, you know, Will last year and some Sam last year. So he's all over the place. But yeah, you know, between him and, you know, Isaiah Moore is somebody that not a lot of people are talking about. He's a leader for this team. Isaiah Moore comes in as, you know, wearing the number one jersey. So if you know anything about NC State, that's, you know, kind of a big jersey for guys to wear. It just shows, you know, the most leadership on this entire team. And he's coming in. He just posted a video the other day squatting six reps of 500 pounds. So he's just a massive dude. And then Drake Thomas along the middle for NC State. That linebacker core, you know, is as good, if not better, than most teams in the ACC coming into this year.
What has the is there any reason to doubt? You know, we've mentioned on the podcast a few times the strength and conditioning program at NC State. But what D'Antonio Burnett has done, Coach Thunder, like what he's done is fantastic. Is there any reason to think that that's going to change? I mean, he's a former NC State player. I don't like there's got to be so much sentimental attachment to continuing to make this football program better as well. But, you know, you mentioned that the shot from the sharing a clip of what you're squatting. Like one of the reasons why NC State has been producing so many players to the NFL has been the work of player development and body development there. What I mean, is there any reason to think that that's going to slow, or can we just copy and paste those expectations from year to year?
Yeah, I mean, you always worry. You never know exactly how guys are going to develop. But, you know, I think part of it is NC State identifying players and saying, you know, they'll take a guy that looks like a quarterback, you know, from high school and go, hey, he's a wide receiver in our system. A guy that, you know, plays wide receiver, hey, he's going to be better covering guys. So it's player, you know, it's player identification, and then it's player development. And yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, Coach Thunder is known by every NFL team across the country because they know, you know, the guys that he builds and the guys that he gets behind and says, you know, he's 100% an NFL player. Guess what? That guy's probably going to pan out. You got about a 90% chance of those guys panning out for at least, you know, 4 or 5 years in the NFL. And every single one of the guys that have come out of NC State have gone on to have, you know, at least at the very least, moderately successful careers. You think about guys like Nyheim Hines that, you know, while he isn't the number one running back, he was drafted in like the third or fourth round and he's gone on to be, you know, a big product there. So it's not just the defensive guys, but, you know, defensive line, he's consistently developed guys that are just humongous and just space eaters across the middle. And while they lose Aleem McNeil this past year, CJ Clark is a guy that we've heard so much about this offseason, stepping up into that role and being that next guy. And he was, again, you know, another in-state product that you know, NC State really gets behind. But one last thing, I know we're trying to move quickly here, but when it comes to Coach Thunder, I will say this. There are a lot of guys on the staff that are great recruiters. He's one of their biggest recruiting tools because a lot of guys that we talk to that say, hey, I committed for so-and-so reasons. Like, yeah, they'll say the coaches, but then they'll say, when Coach Thunder got in front of me and told me, hey, you're going to gain 30 pounds. You're going to be this guy. We want you to early enroll so that you're ready by next summer. Like they buy into that because they know what he's saying is the truth.
So, yeah, Chase Claypool was working out, right? I'm guessing Jalen Samuels brought him down. I was like, what is he doing over the facility? Okay, so to set the expectations, it's tough because you're coming off of this 8-4 season. You are so excited about that 7-3 ACC record. And then you see win totals that are being released by sports books from across the way. And the number that is being set is probably short of what you would hope if you were a fan. How do you, as covering the team, like, how do you feel about seeing six on the board? Juice to the over, but like 6-6, 7-5 for a team that returns so much from last season feels like it might be a disappointment. How do you set realistic expectations for the fans?
Yeah, it's really tough because, you know, I kind of agree with Bud Elliott, that's obviously on you guys' podcast on a regular basis. He said, you know, I think NC State can push and get back to, you know, an 8-win season this year. And part of it is because the schedule is so vastly different from last year. You know, you start off with USF and then you immediately go to Mississippi State, which is a little bit of an unknown too, because, you know, they didn't exactly meet expectations last year, but they have a lot of guys coming back. It's always going to be tough playing in Starkville. And we know they're going to probably have full capacity going into next year. Then you come home against Furman and then you have Clemson. Like, you could not have asked for a tougher start to the ACC schedule than playing, you know, the king of the ACC Atlantic on a consistent basis. So if there's a way that you find a way to go 3-1 over those first four games, or even God forbid you go 4-0, then yeah, the expectations are through the roof. But
buddy, you win on September 25th, expectations are through the roof. We're talking ACC championship.
Immediately. Exactly. I mean, we're talking like, you know, 2003 implications there. So, you know, you find a way to you know, come out of that with at least a 3-1 record somehow. Yeah, you can probably meet expectations, but there's also a very good chance you go 2-2 over those first four games. And then we know Boston College is going to be a tough team this year. We know Miami's going to be a tough team this year. Louisville's a little bit of an unknown. You have Louisville at home. And then, you know, Florida State, Wake Forest, and then Syracuse. That's a a four-game stretch there where you come out of that 4-0, then it's great. You come out of that 3-1, well, again, you go into UNC, and there's a chance that you could finish, you know, 7-5 and 8-4, somewhere along those lines, to get yourself into bowl contention. So, yeah, it's a very difficult schedule to look through and say, oh, yeah, they're definitely getting 10 wins, you know? And I think that's kind of the hope. We've talked about this before on our podcast is, you know, I think a lot of people hope for that 10 win mark. They want to get to that and get back to that for the second time in program history. But yeah, it's, you know, the 8-5 mark, I think, or 8-4 mark, I think is very realistic for this team still.
And 6-6 would be a disappointment.
Yeah, no, I definitely think 6-6 would be a disappointment where we're talking about, you know,
what went wrong.
Yeah, exactly. What went wrong? What needs to happen next year? I think 8 is kind of the bar for people right now. 8 wins is like, I wouldn't be very disappointed in that unless it was like you beat Clemson and then you lose to, you know, Florida State and Wake Forest. Then it's like, you did it again. You didn't beat the teams you were supposed to beat, but you found a way to win, you know, this miraculous game. You go back to kind of the Tom O'Brien era where they would win these like monstrous games and then you would lose to Virginia the next week. It's like, what did you do? What happened?
But that hasn't been the Dave Doran has been defined by beating the teams that you should be able to beat. And then the frustration has been getting that Tom O'Brien style, like Florida State win.
Yeah, exactly. And they've consistently missed the bar on that. You have, I would say, I mean, looking at the schedule, you know, I don't know that I put Mississippi State up in that argument just yet because, you know, obviously it's a game you want to win, but you know, if you find a way to win a Clemson game or you find a way to win that UNC game at the end of the year or even the Miami game on the road, those are three opportunities to really have like a signature win in Dave Doran's era. And that's again, you know, that's the biggest mark on him is, you know, even when he has these signature wins, it's teams that eventually fall apart. Or it's like, hey, you beat a top 25 Liberty last year. While it looks like a great win at the time, we're going to look back on that in 5 years and go, dude, you beat Liberty. Like it's not that big of a deal. So you need to have that kind of signature win of a great team and a great year and being able to find a way to give them a stumbling block.
He is Corey Smith. Please follow all of their awesome NC State coverage at Pack Pride. They've got VIP memberships. You get 1 month for $1. And listen, if you are an NC State fan and you do not have a subscription to Pack Pride, you are doing it wrong. They are all over the place with all the updates about the ongoings of the present team and, of course, the program's future on the recruiting trail. Corey, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chip. I appreciate it, man.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.